Welcome to the City of Smack podcast. I'm your host, Chris Chavez. The City of Smack podcast is presented by Final Surge. No matter if you're an athlete or a coach, Final Surge helps plan and attain both short and long-term training success. Their free online training log is compatible with Garmin, Strava, Polar, Stride, Coros, and a slew of other apps and devices. If you're a coach, Final Surge makes planning and analyzing workouts simple and helps streamline communication with you and your athletes. Some of the top coaches in the world who have been guests on this podcast use it on a daily basis. If you're an athlete out there who's hammering miles and tempo runs solo with no guidance or direction, well, Final Surge is also here to offer up some world-class training programs. Get yourself a training plan for that spring 5K, that half marathon or full marathon that's on your calendar right now. They've got plans from Ben Rosario and NAZ Elite. Drew Hunter and Christine Thorne and the Tin Man Squad have their hammer and axe plans. You can always hit the classics with Greg McMillan or Boston Marathon champion Ambie Burfoot. And if you are a fan of the sport and are curious how the pros are training, Helen Taylor, Stephanie Bruce, and the rest of the NAZ Elite Squad share all of their training logs on Final Surge. Give it all a look at finalsurge.com. Sidious Mag listeners can get 10% off their purchases by using code Sidious at checkout. So check it out today. Support for this episode also comes from listeners like you. Many thanks to everyone who has backed us on Patreon. Brett Averett is a true MVP by upping his monthly contribution. If you enjoy what we're doing across the City of Smack podcast network, whether it's this show, Run Your Mouth, More Than Running, or if you just follow us to keep up with the latest news and happenings in the sport, support us over at patreon.com/cityofsmack. On Patreon, you can donate anything from $1 a month, and we even have some people who contribute $20 a month or $30 a month. For those of you who are unable to commit to a monthly contribution, you can also make a one-time donation by sending any dollar amount over to City of Smack on Venmo. Feel free to include any message to let us know why. It could be because you enjoy the conversations, maybe we're keeping you company on a run or commute, or if you just want to shout out a friend, teammate, coach, or family member who really loves the show. Consider Venmo like a virtual tip jar. So thanks to Neil Carnahan this week, who threw us a couple bucks and said great pods recently. Shelby Foster contributed and said thank you for some super inspiring words from Dina Castor. Great timing at the end of my Boston buildup. Get ready because Boston's just around the corner, so keep up the great work. And last thing before we get to the interview, I'm always grateful for the listeners who leave a little five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We just surpassed more than 300 episodes of the show, and we have over 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. Let's up the reviews on Spotify. Your reviews and ratings help new people discover the show and let future sponsors know what you think. So thanks to people who shared the show on social media as well. I'm grateful for all that you guys do to get the word out. This is one of three episodes in our On the Rise mini-series in partnership with New Balance. A few weeks ago at New Balance Nationals Indoor, we got the chance to sit down and get to know three of the girls who are rewriting the record books and raising the bar on the U.S. high school distance running scene. Mac Fleet put together a nice video on our YouTube channel showcasing them and their friendship. You can check it out now on the City of Smack YouTube channel. We're dropping these three full interviews, Netflix style, all in one day for you guys to enjoy and learn more about who they are, what their backgrounds are like, and what excites them about their potential. So keep your eyes locked on some more details from New Balance Nationals as they just announced the outdoor edition will be held at the University of Pennsylvania's historic Franklin Field from June 16th to 19th this summer. In this episode, we speak with Sophia Gorjaran. She is a junior at Moses Brown School in Providence, Rhode Island. She's truly a special athlete who comes from a family of runners, yet showcases even more athleticism by being a star both on the track and on her school's lacrosse team as well. Last summer, she qualified for the U.S. Olympic trials and ran her outdoor personal best of 202.26 in the first round of the 800 meters at the Olympic trials, just 5 days after she turned 16 years old. This winter, she ran 2 flat .58 and finished fourth in the same race at Boston University against pros and collegiate athletes, where Roisin Willis broke the high school record. Sophia also got under the previous record held by Sammy Watson to put herself at number 2 on the all-time high school 800-meter list. At New Balance National, she raced the 400, the 800, where she finished second to Roisin, and the mile, so she can do it all, and the best part of it is that there's still an extra year ahead for her to chase some records. So without further ado, here is Sophia Gorjaran. So you can do it all from 400 to the mile. What is your favorite event? And also, what do you see as your best event? Because sometimes, like, it's not, you know, they're not the same one.
Mm-hmm. I would say my favorite event is definitely the 800, and that's also, like, my best event. So maybe I like it because it's also my best event, but yeah.
When did you really
grow to like the 800? Because a lot of people will see it as one of the toughest events and definitely probably one of the most painful.
Yeah, I mean, probably when I was in middle school, like, I really started to love it, and I started to get, like, pretty competitive in the 800, like, more so than my other events, so that was pretty exciting to see as I got older. I just kept getting better and better at it, so.
What does it mean for you to be here at New Balance Nationals at the Armory, a place you've raced a bunch of times, but this time, like, it took a break for a while, but now it's back?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited to be here and just want to thank, like, everyone for hosting the meet and everyone for coming out to New Balance Nationals and just, like, such great competition here. And it's also my first year competing in indoor nationals, so I'm super excited, yeah.
So as someone who has raced against professionals and on some of the biggest stages, do you still get nervous before races?
I mean, I try not to. I mean, maybe a little bit at times, but I mean, I really try not to. I just try to think of it as any other race and kind of just go out there and just do my best. Yeah.
I always kind of think of how you're coming up in the sport at a time when, like, everyone's on social media. Like, sometimes, like, the biggest stars can, you know, garner these thousands and thousands of people following them. Like, a lot of people who you don't even know, but you've got fans as a high schooler. That's got to be pretty cool. So how do you sort of manage a little bit of that stardom that comes with being a really good high school star?
I mean, I'm not, like, very focused on it. I mean, like, I kind of don't, like, really think of myself as, like, having fans, I guess. I don't know. But it's really, like, it's, like, a good feeling to, like, know people are behind you and support you. Like, yeah, it's just, like, a really good feeling that people, like, know who I am and are supporting me.
Have you signed autographs before?
Yes, I have. I think I have, yeah.
What was that like, I guess, the first time someone asked you for your autograph?
I thought it was pretty funny because it was, like, at a meet in Rhode Island. Like, it's just, like, a random meet. And then someone asked me to sign their shirt, so that was pretty funny. But
in Rhode Island, can you describe what the high school competitive scene is like? You're a star at the national level, but, like, what is the competition like in Rhode Island itself?
I mean, everyone's, like, super competitive, and they're all, like, Rhode Island has, like, a bunch of, like, good runners and stuff. So I just love to, like, compete with everyone there and just have a good time. Yeah, it's always, like, fun to be there because, I mean, everyone's, like, all, like, very supportive of everyone there. So
was there a particular runner from Rhode Island that you kind of grew up and, like, really enjoyed, like, watching? Or before, like, when you look at the state records and those lists, like, is there some names that really stick out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, like, watching this woman named Maddie Bergson who went to Stanford and ran for Stanford, and now she's still competing in, like, the mile 800, stuff like that, 3K. So, yeah, I really looked up to her growing up and watching her, like, set state records and winning, like, in the state meet and stuff, so.
It feels weird to ask because you compete against them so often, but who is your favorite pro runner?
I would say my favorite pro runner is either Allison Felix or Ajay Wilson. So
you've had the chance to race Ajay before. What was that like, I guess, when you're on the same starting line as someone that you look up to?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, an amazing feeling, like, finally, like, being there and, like, being able to compete against, like, such, like, a great person and great athlete is just awesome. Yeah.
When we look at the all-time lists for high school, like, you're sitting at number two and you're above Ajay. Has that ever hit you sort of in terms of just, like, wow, like, I know what she's done in her career and she's gone off and competed at world championships and Olympics, and the fact that right now you are a little bit ahead of where she was when she was your age, like, do you ever kind of think of, like, the potential that you have possibly?
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, very exciting to see, like, my times as I've improved over the years, and just, like, seeing my time drop is, like really, like, fun and, like, very, like, it's, like, a confidence boost every time I go out there and run and, like, know that I'm, like, second in the nation ever for the indoor 800 meters. So.
I like that you use the word fun because that's the part that sometimes, like, when these athletes sometimes can think of track as just like, oh, I have to go to practice, like, it's so tiring, and, like, I know I'm good at it, but it's, like, it's more of a chore sometimes. So what makes track fun for you that you really enjoy?
I mean, I just really like to challenge myself, and, like, I'm, like, a really competitive person, I would say. So I just like love the challenge, and then I just like the feeling of like running, and like it's kind of like a free feeling. I don't know, like just pushing myself every day, like trying to be better. Yeah, something I really like.
You're, I guess, fortunate that you're coming up in the sport at a time with, you know, Roisin Willis, Juliet Whitaker, and you guys are not afraid of racing each other each time out. I love that you guys go head to head so often. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the friendship and like the just sort of like overall camaraderie that you guys have?
Yeah, I mean, it's like super like nice to like compete against them. Like they're always like so nice and like fun. We always talk every time we are racing each other, and even like talk out of races and stuff and out of competition. So yeah, like they're like both like such great people like themselves and like such great runners as well. So
it's cool that you guys race all over the country, and that that's got to be a cool component too, where the fact like you're a high schooler going into some race in, it could be Virginia or New York or Boston, and sometimes it could be a fairly lonely feeling when like you're not there with your team. Has it been nice to go to meets and see Roisin there or like Juliet there and know like, oh, like, yeah, they're also the high schooler that's here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nice to see like a friendly face or a face you know like at these meets, and like know like you're not alone, like you have someone to talk to and stuff. And yeah, they're always just like, they've always like been super nice to me ever since I was like a freshman and I first raced Roisin. Yeah, they've always just been like super nice, always.
What do you remember about that first race when you were a freshman against Roisin?
I mean, I knew her, but I don't know if she knew me, but I would just try to like run my best. And I mean, it led to like a very good time, and she pushed me. She really pushed me to like the freshman international record. So
I think it was in her Instagram caption, or maybe you shared it. Someone said like, and the phrase that always gets thrown around is like, iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for you when it comes to just like the fact that you guys go head to head so often and are pushing each other to these personal bests?
I mean, we just like, we always go out there and like, we always like try our best, and we really like push each other to like be our best every time. And like, we're both like very competitive, and like we challenge each other a lot, but like, it's always like a friendly competition. And yeah.
Has there ever been a moment where it kind of like, not imposter syndrome, but like you feel a little out of place, like being at something like the Olympic trials or the Trials of Miles meet that was here, like in New York City, where it's professional runners like Safwan Hassan and Nikki Hiltz are like warming up nearby for their race, and you're the youngest person in the field. Do you ever feel that way? Like I'm sort of the high schooler and the rookie in the field.
I mean, a little bit. Like when I first, like in ninth grade, I think it was my first pro race. So I was like a little like, oh wow, like this is different. Like I'm not used to this. But going out there, I just had like so much fun, like competing against all these great women and great runners. So I just like every time I run with them, I like learn something new. So
what do you think is your biggest strength as an athlete? Because you're here at New Balance Nationals competing in the 400, the 800, and the mile. Like, you've got the range, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I have a pretty good range. Like, because, like, I run anything from probably, like, 200 to cross country. But, yeah, I mean, I like, kind of grew up as more of a sprinter. And then I transitioned in, like, eighth grade. I ran my first 1500 or mile, I think. And then from then on, I just kept running, like, further and further. But, it wasn't until last year I had my first like cross country season, and then this year I went through to the state meet and then I was done. So
what is it 800, 1500 miles specialists think of cross country, like when you have to go over distance sometimes?
Sometimes it's like fun, and then sometimes it's a little like different, and sometimes I'm just like, oh, this is never gonna end. But I like the challenge, I would say, and I'm really challenged in state with some of the girls there, so they really pushed me in cross country, and it's nice to like have like such great competition in my own state as well.
What do you think? I'll ask the same question for Juliet, but what do you think is Roisin's biggest strength as a runner?
Let's see. I would say like she has some really good speed, and she likes to go out fast usually. And I think she likes to get to the lead and kind of maintain that position in lane one. So I think, yeah.
What about Juliet?
I think her strength is very good. Like her mile, her cross country, everything is super good. And then she's also like very fast too, so.
A quick break now to tell you about our new sponsor, Therabody. This is a partnership I've been waiting for a very long time. Calling all you athletes and weekend warriors out there, are you looking to cut down on hours of rest and recovery as you push for that next level? Recharge your legs like the pros with Therabody's revolutionary new Recovery Air Jet Boots. Recovery Air Jet Boots are the world's most advanced pneumatic compression system ever created. For years, runners, bikers, and everyone who spends hours on their feet have had to suffer through leg pains and aches after a long, hard day. Clinically proven treatments, like compression boots that pro athletes use, have always been out of reach. Recovery Air is a groundbreaking pressure massage for everybody, anywhere. With Therabody's exclusive fast flush technology, Recovery Air flushes out metabolic waste more fully and brings back fresh blood to your legs at 3 times the speed of competitors. Faster cycles mean faster recovery, so you don't have to wait for the legs to be feeling great. Not just good, great. Therabody's Recovery Air Jet Boots are the first of its kind. They're truly wireless for anywhere on the go recovery, boosting circulation and radically reducing muscle soreness. And thanks to Recovery Air's super intuitive, easy to use one-touch controls, recovering faster is a breeze. I took about a 3-month break from running, so now that I'm getting back into a routine, I want to make sure that I'm able to tackle that next day's run feeling strong and recovered. So I simply just kick back at the end of my day, turn on some reality TV, and just sit there in my jet boots so I'm not feeling that last run or workout the next time I get out the door. If that's not enough to convince you, maybe it's the fact that more than 250 professional sports teams exclusively use Therabody products, and they're trusted by world-class athletes like NBA All-Star Paul George, superstar footballer Trent Alexander-Arnold, and champion golfer Colin Morikawa. So sit back, relax, and recover. Go to therabody.com/sidious to get your Therabody Recovery Air today, starting at $690 or as low as $59 a month with the firm. Plus, Recovery Air's 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping is included, so there's no risk. Again, that's therabody.com/sidious. Check them out today so you can get your legs feeling great. Not just good, great.
February 11th, Boston University. Can you take me through that morning and all the way kind of like through the race? What was that day like? Because it ends up being probably one of the most special moments of your career.
Yeah, I mean, that morning, I didn't go to school because I had my race, but it was a Friday, and it's only like an hour, 45 minutes away from my house, so got up like, I don't know, not too early, had breakfast, went to the track, and then warmed up inside BU, and we were the first race to go on. It was like the sprint events first, and then like the more distance events after that, and so my race was the first one to go, so we just got to the line and the gun went off and then we all just went for it. And I knew it was going to be a fast race as soon as we went off because Roisin just took it out fast and then I just tried to keep a good pace with her as well. So
it's sometimes these special moments happen when there's less sort of pressure, like something like the Milrose Games, there's 2,000 fans and like it's on TV. And for this race to finally come together so well for the both of you, it was in a setting where there really weren't fans allowed. It was you, some college runners, like a couple, like one or two professional runners in there. Very low pressure. Was that a part of the reason why it did come together? It's sort of like you were a little bit more relaxed possibly in that setting.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, I think probably like I was like I feel like we were both kind of going for like the time more than like the win, I would say. Like we really wanted to get the time. And, like, with these pro races, they're a little more tactical, I feel like. And so we kind of just really went for it, and what happens, happens. So,
for the high schoolers who might be listening to this and don't know what it's like to be in a professional field, when you mentioned sort of, like, the tactics, like, have you had to learn to position yourself and, like, maybe, you know, sometimes throw a little bit of an elbow or, like, make room for yourself? Like, what is it like sort of being in your shoes racing against pros? And, like, what have you learned about, like, kind of making space for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, a lot tougher than high school. Like, just, like, trying to get to even, like, lane one and, like, not, like, be on the outside the whole time is just really tough. So you really have to, like, get your position and then just try to stay on the rail pretty much. And it's like it's a lot tougher. Like sometimes there'll be like a few elbows or something, but you just have to like keep it within yourself and like just try to like hit your targets and like maintain your position, I would say.
we just watched you run a 400, and that was one where I kind of see it as like an 800 specialist dropping down to the 400, and now you have these girls who are 400 specialists trying to hold it down in their event. And the way you played it, it was very similar to how an 800 was run. You're very patient, sitting in like third or fourth place, and then after that, like with what was it, maybe like 150 meters left to go, you release like the kick, and you don't really think of like a kick in a 400, but you pulled it off here because it is a two lap race. And sort of in a way, you did play it safe. You were on the outside for a little bit and then made your move. So how trusting are you sort of in that finishing speed that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I know like I'm like a really like strong runner. Like I have that 800 meter strength and even mile strength. So I know that with 150 meters to go or 100 meters to go, I can kick. And I just have to like kind of pace myself through it and make sure like I'm hitting like the times my coaches tell me to. So.
Friends, more than 100,000 tickets have already been sold for this summer's World Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon. Some sessions have totally sold out. Do not miss out. Buy your tickets today to see the world's best athletes in action at the first ever World Outdoor Championships being held on U.S. soil. You can get your tickets by visiting worldchampsoregon22.com/tickets. The championships will be July 15th to 24th. It's going to be here before we know it, so act soon. It's going to be epic. With the World Indoor Championships now in the rearview mirror, Oregon 22 has also just launched its Next Stop Oregon campaign, and over the next few weeks, they will be highlighting the inspirational tales of athletes from the U.S. as they get ready to compete for some medals this summer. They kick things off with a behind-the-scenes video with hurdler Devin Allen, so stay tuned for more features from them. Get all your information on Worlds by visiting worldchampsoregon22.com. That's worldchampsoregon22.com.
One of my favorite things about like meets like this, and even just sort of in general, the differences between you, Roisin, and Juliet, and just every single runner here, is that everyone is coming from like a different background and like training setup. Some people are training, like if you're at your level, training with the boys team, or like having to enlist like other training partners, or sometimes having to do a lot of the work solo. Can you peel back the curtain for us, and what is sort of your training setup like, from like your coaching setup to also like who are you training with, and is it easy training out in Rhode Island? I'm guessing like you guys also have, you know, snowy days where it's tough to get out there in the cold.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much just train myself and then my two coaches, John Burns and my dad, and sometimes my dad will run with me for a little bit, like, and I'll be running like repeat thousands, so I'll run like 200, or every 200 he'll like run with me, every other 200 he'll run with me. But we mainly like practice indoors during the indoor track season, unless it's like a nice day outside, then we'll go outside and run outside. But last year I was practicing with both my brother and sister, and this year was like a big change since I didn't have anyone to practice with, so that kind of sucked. But honestly, like I think I've been doing pretty well in like my practices, and like my running this year has been like pretty good, I would say, and like just hitting like new PRs in all my events. So
when one of the cool things that I guess like in athletes just training for anything really, it's just that there's a component of visualizing, like you're visualizing yourself, if you're a baseball player, winning the World Series, or like, you know, like a football player in the Super Bowl or in college. What do you sort of visualize like when you're practicing? Like, what is sort of like that dream? Is it winning like a national title at the high school level, or going beyond that?
I mean, definitely have some like really big goals in the future, like even like for the next Olympics after that. Just like definitely like trying to make the Olympic team is definitely has been my biggest goal since I was like a really young kid. So
being at the Olympic trials this past year, what was the best part of that experience for you?
I would say just like being able to like be in that scene with all those like amazing, like Athing Mo, Raven Rogers, Ajay Wilson, like that was just super cool. Like, I mean, it was so much fun, and it was just like such a great experience to just be there with them, and to like see them like there with like being like the same place as them is just like, wow. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that like Athing Mo is not that far removed from competing at this meet. So did she sort of like, what kind of interactions have you sort of had with her, because you guys are really close in age, and it's like a little bit of an acknowledgement that like she just won gold in Tokyo, but like the next one up you could be teammates with her.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first time I met her was when I was in either, I think, eighth grade, I think, or seventh or eighth grade. And I came here up to, I came up here to watch my brother run in the internationals. And then I also like watched the 800 because, I mean, I was already like very interested in it because I knew I'd be running here in high school. And she was like super nice when I first met her. She was like very talkative, like always very nice to me. And I think at Millrose, like she was one of like the only professional people who came up to me and was like, good luck, like I hope you're doing well today, so.
That's awesome. So then when you're at the Olympic trials, any actual sort of race, I know this is sort of like the time where you have to shift your mind and be like, this is business, like mm-hmm. I gotta take care of business here. Now, there's gotta be a moment, although it's like super close, like running like 2:02 at the Olympic trials or something like that, like versus what, you know, 1:59 or two, like it's not that far of a gap. It does sort of look like it in terms of just like times, but physically, like, do you feel like second lap when they're kicking, you're like, okay, that's the difference. I'm a high schooler. Those are the pros. Like I could see it now.
Yeah. I mean, definitely like on that last lap and then with a like 200 meters to go, like I'd kick and they'd be like kicking and I'd be like, oh, I'm not really catching up to them. So yeah, like, yeah, there's definitely like a difference between being like in 10th grade and then being in your 20s or like late teens. So
to see the to watch the Olympics from home and like see a thing Mo and even Raven meddling, like what did that do for you in just terms of just like pride of, you know, the United States? These are United States women taking care of business on the big stage, but at the same time, like people you've raced.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was super like cool and fun to watch them like win gold and bronze. I mean, I was just like, yeah, just like really proud of like the 800 meters in America or like the United States women 800 meters runners. So I mean, it was like nice to like really see them do very well. So
you get to be part of it, which is the craziest part of all of that. Now, kind of going back to a little bit of your training setup, what's it like being coached by your dad?
Well, he knows me like very well. Like he's been my coach since I was like 4 or so. So he knows like exactly like how I'm feeling on every day. And like, he knows like, yeah, he just knows, yeah, how I'm feeling and what I can do, what I can't do on some days. And like with like lacrosse in the spring, I play both lacrosse and I run track in the spring. And I like sometimes would have to cut the workouts back. And yeah, I'd really like to manage that. And he would like be very helpful in knowing like how to do that, so.
Does track get brought up at the dinner table?
Yeah, I would say it does. Yeah, definitely like before races, it gets brought up, so.
And coming from a family where your brother ran track, your sister ran track, and is mm-hmm. and like they've gone on to play college sports, like mm-hmm. what was that kind of like? When was your first introduction to running? And then was it a competitive household growing up?
Definitely very competitive in our household. Yeah, we love to compete. Like my sister and I were super competitive with each other, but I was first introduced to track when I was like, or honestly, since I was like born pretty much, because my dad would run like after college and stuff. He still runs sometimes, but my brother and sister joined our like club track team, and I would just be watching them run. I'd be like, oh, I feel so left out, like I want to just join them. And so then my dad taught me like all the drills, and then once I like knew all of them, I went and practiced. Then the other coach who coaches with that track team, I was like, okay, yeah, she can go. She can run now, yeah.
When's the first time you beat your sister in a race?
I don't know. I mean, there's that 400 meters at BU when I was 8 years old. yeah.
And how much older was she?
She's 2.5 years older than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 8-year-old beats a 10-year-old. Okay, I could see that. Then what about your brother? Have you ever beaten your brother in a race?
No. No, I have not. He's run like 152 or 1 in 800, so.
At some point, he's got to, you know, assume the duties of like training partner for sure to push you to that
yeah,
next level.
Yeah, he's a great training partner to have. Like, I practiced with him all last year. And like during the summer, he was just like, he's always been like very, very supportive of me and like always like trying to help me be the best I can be, so.
So what's that, I guess, as a junior right now, how do you balance school, track, lacrosse, and then also part of it too is like college starts to come mm-hmm. up and like you're I guess, starting to look at options and hear from different teams and schools. So how do you balance all of that?
Yeah, I mean, during the spring, it's really tough because I have lacrosse practice after school from like 3:30 to 6:15, and then I head over to the track, which is like 2 minutes away, like across the street pretty much. And I get my practice in, and then I usually would go home and do homework, or then I'd have to go lift and then do homework. So it was very busy. I think it'll be like even busier this year because we had like a different schedule with school last year, and this year it's like 5 classes a day instead of 3 from wow. last year. So
how much homework? Like, is it 2 hours of homework, an hour?
Well, I procrastinate a little bit, so I mean, it could be 2 hours, but like I kind of drag it out sometimes.
And then obviously dinner time, then how do you unwind, relax, I guess? Is there just an hour or two of TV? What are you watching?
Like, yeah, for sure. Definitely like an hour or two of watching a show or something, like either before I go to bed or like before I start my homework or something. So.
And then what time's bedtime, and what's the ideal sort of like amount of time for you to wake up and be able to have the energy to do all this again?
I mean, the ideal bedtime for me would be like 12 o'clock, but sometimes it gets pushed to 1 o'clock, so, or 1:30, so.
And then waking up at?
I wake up at like 7, 7:15, okay. And then some days I start late. I have like a free period first, so I'll wake up at like 8.
Okay.
Yeah, not too bad.
But. No, it's not that bad at all. So can you take us through what it's like making the decision between track and lacrosse when the spring does come about? When do you have to decide between playing a game or racing a meet? How do you go about juggling all that?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't, like, I try not to miss any games for lacrosse. Like, I missed, like the championship season last year because of the trials, but this year I think I'll be, like, playing all the way through, and then if I need, like, a meet to qualify for, like, states or something, or, like, I'll, like, run meets usually outside of lacrosse. So I try to like be at every game, but.
I loved the Runner's World story that they wrote about you, because it starts off talking about, you know, your birthday, which happened to be at the Olympic trials. Can you take us through that day and how, what that meant to you? Because it was, part of it was hard. You were away from your lacrosse team. Mm-hmm. You had this major opportunity to race at the Olympic trials. So, like, you were being pulled in two different directions there.
Yeah, I mean, on my birthday, they had the state championship lacrosse game, and so I watched that, and I just, like, I felt, like, really sad that I wasn't there to, like, even, like, be there to just cheer them on and stuff. But they played a great game. My sister played amazing. Everyone played amazing. So they beat the other team by a good amount, and I was super happy with them. But just, like, not being there was pretty sad, and, like, my parents, us all not being able to be there was kind of sad, but I mean, the trials is just super important to me, like, ever since I was really young, so I really, like, wanted to be there. And, yeah, my birthday, I spent it with, like, my uncle and cousins, and then my dad, mom, yeah, so.
That's awesome. I heard in the, because I read from the story that your teammates wrote your number on their bodies, like, it was number 5, I guess, for that game. What did that mean to you?
It was just, like, it was really, like, good feeling, like, knowing they're behind me and supporting me and keeping me in their, in, like, spirit and stuff there, so.
Why'd you choose number 5?
Well, there's, like, a tradition with number 5. There was a girl who's now at Princeton, plays across for Princeton. She was, like, she was voted, like, best player in the state of Rhode Island, like, a few years back, and she's a very, very good player. Like, she made, like, the U.S. U19 or something. U.S. team for U20s or whatever, but my coach told me to, I was going to be number 5, so yeah, and then my sister's number 4, or she was number 4, so I might be number 4 this year, we'll see.
Oh, that's cool. In your college sort of early thought process, I think in the story it said you want to try and run in college and at the same time play lacrosse. How important is it for you to try and do both?
I think it's really important. I'll try to do the best I can. I mean, I still have, like, a year to decide, like, exactly what I'm going to do, but I would really like to, like, I'd really want to do both because I really love both sports. Like, it's hard to decide between one or the other for me, so.
I guess for us as track people, can you put into context for us, like, you're pro level at track. Where are you at for lacrosse? Like, are you like a lock for like Division I?
I have been looking at like Division I schools and hearing from coaches from Division I schools, yeah, since like the fall, I would say. But they usually like have all their players committed by the fall of your junior year, so.
Oh, wow. So you're kind of like a little bit later in the process for lacrosse?
Yeah, well, they're kind of just saying like take as much time as you want because, I mean, yeah. I also have like track too, so.
Yeah.
And like track is like a much like later process.
Mm-hmm. So this weekend with New Balance Internationals, like I think there's part of it like so many people enjoy seeing you and Roisin race, or if you choose to do the mile, you and Juliet race, because mm-hmm. you guys push each other to really fast times. When it comes to records, like how often do you think of that? Because you guys are so close to mm-hmm. like the just in general, like records across the board.
Yeah, I mean, like every time we race, records are definitely like looking to be broken, or like new records are looking to be set. I think just like us being out there competing against each other, like there's definitely like a chance of us getting a record every time we just go out there. So,
is it cool to have an extra year to chase Roisin's record in the 800?
Yeah, definitely like pretty cool to have another year to like go at it again. So,
you just haven't told her that you want to break it. At the trials, you broke Mary Decker's sophomore record of 202, which stood since 1974. Overall, for outdoors, Mary Kane's record has stood for a while. Mm-hmm. Why do you think like that record in particular stood for such a long time?
I just think like the 2-minute barrier is very tough to break, but I think like we'll definitely be looking to break 2 minutes going into outdoor season. So
those barriers, like 4 flat, like gets in people's heads. Like for me, it's 5 minutes mm-hmm. for mile. Like I can't get it out of my head. But like 2 minutes, like how daunting is it? Is it a scary thing?
I mean, every time I just go out there, I just like every time I set a new PR, I'm happy with it. Like every time, like even by like 10th or second or who knows, a few tenths, I'm happy with it. So and just knowing like I have another year to like even improve on my times is just super exciting for me, like knowing that. But
what would your goals be by the time your high school career ends? I'm guessing sub 2 in the 800. So what are your goals for the 4, the 8, and the mile by the time you're done in high school?
I honestly have not, like, I don't know yet for like all those events, but definitely like breaking 2 in the 800 is definitely a big goal for me. And just like improving every like on like all my races, and like the 400 and the mile. Yeah, I mean, I don't run as often as I run the 800, but I'm definitely looking to improve like on every event. So
last thing I've got is in the Runner's World story, it opens with you making a wish for your birthday, but you didn't say what it was. Can you share what it was now?
sorry, no.
No, okay, all right. Well, we'll keep it a secret. I was thinking like, oh, is it sub 2 for the 800? Is it running related?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, all right. I like that you're leaving us hanging. Maybe at some point we'll find out what this wish was. Maybe when it comes true.
Yeah, maybe when it comes true.
Perfect. Well, Sophia, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much.
The City of Smack Podcast is a production of the City of Smack Podcast Network. It is produced and edited by Mike Zerzolo. Did you enjoy this episode enough to dish out a couple bucks? Support City of Smack by pledging any dollar amount over on patreon.com/cityofsmack to join our loyal legion of backers who keep this show going strong. If you're on your phone right now, you can also open up the Venmo app and hit us with a one-time donation to @CityofSmack. We've also got merch over on cityofsmack.com. Any way you can show your support goes a long way. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Chris Chavez, wishing you some happy and healthy running. Legs are feeling good. See you next time.